Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Thank you.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No. Nope.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
It ain't like stepping on ants, Jake. Takes a man to kill. You man enough to kill, Jake? He'd be right there. Get me, Jack. Get me. Hit me. Hit me. You can't do it. Somebody drop this fool for me.
You got us twisted, homie. We gotta put your own work in around here.
It's like that, Bone?
It's like that.
Player to player, pimp to pimp. I'm believe you shoot me, nigga.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Now I'm believe he got in there, Jake.
Shit.
I'm gonna get that gun, and then I'm gonna get that money. And you ain't gonna do a damn thing, because you ain't gonna shoot no cop in the back, are you?
Don't do it.
You know what they give you for that? The gas chamber. You know what the gas chamber smells like? Pine oil. That's where you headed, boy. To pine oil heaven. I'm going to get that gun, and then I'm going to get that money. I don't believe you got it in you, Jake. I'm going to go get it right now.
Oh, shit! Ah, you motherfucker!
The next one will kill you.
Oh, son of a bitch! You shot me in the ass!
Okay, wait. Okay. All right, listen.
But, Jake, I need the money. Give me the money, Jake. Give me the money, please, Jake. Give me that money!
It's not going to happen.
Oh, you going to jack me now? You going to take my own money from me, huh?
I told you, that's my evidence. You want to go to jail, you want to go home.
I want to go home, Jake. Come on. Give me the money and let me go home.
Yeah? You want to go home?
Yeah, let me go home, Jake. Come on, give me the money and let me go home. Give me the money and let me go home. Let me go home, Jake. That's right. Come on, Jake. You don't deserve this. Okay, you motherfucker.
Jake, go ahead and bounce on me. Get up out of here. We got your back.
What?
Like that.
Oh, no, you didn't. Wait a minute. No, you did. Hey, Jake! Hey! Jake! 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 Come back here! Jake! You disloyal, fool-ass, bitch-made punk. Jake! I need my money! Jake! Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. Huh? You think you can do this shit? Jake! You think you can do this to me? You motherfuckers will be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you. Shoe program, nigga. 23-hour lockdown. I'm the man up in this piece. You'll never see the light of day. Who the fuck you think you fucking with? I'm the police. I run shit here. You just live here. Yeah, that's right. You better walk away. Go and walk away, because I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. King Kong ain't got shit on me. That's all right. Shit. I don't fuck. I'm winning anyway. I'm winning any motherfucking way. I can't lose. Shit, you can shoot me, but you can't kill me. Ah. Shit. Oh, what a day. What a motherfucking day.
From Training Day. We're approaching the weekend here, so if you're looking for something interesting to watch on your favorite streaming service, it could be Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, what have you, I do highly recommend Training Day, where Denzel Washington plays a rogue cop. In any event, today on It's My House, we do have a guest again. We're going to talk about health and wellness. And part to lead into that, we're going to talk about farm to door. Now, many people normally these days, they go to the grocery store, you know, shopping for food, you know, from anything that you normally buy in the food. I mean, excuse me, a grocery store. Or some people go in and out of the convenience store, 7-Eleven or what have you. However, a trend that is happening, not only in the United States, but I would say globally, would be farm to door, where your local farm or your local farm, you have an agreement with your local farmer, and they deliver fresh produce to your front door. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we do that, I'm going to play another little clip on here, audio clip. If you're looking for something binge-worthy, if you're a binge-watcher like I am, a pretty good series to binge-watch, what I would call The Wire, which you can catch that on, what do you call it? Amazon.
I go?
We got one out of two of them motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Look, B.I., man, I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man, you know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right. Relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised with you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
All right. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you going to do?
But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
B, he was a man in his time, you know?
He a man today. He a man.
And that was a short audio clip from the, well, what I consider binge-worthy television series that you can stream, The Wire, which takes place in Baltimore, Maryland. And many of the people that are, or characters that are featured in The Wire are based on real people. And then some of the real people that were, the names were mentioned in The Wire, some of those were actually in the production of The Wire playing other roles. And they weren't playing themselves. So anyway, I think five seasons, binge-worthy. It'll get you through a weekend. And there's so much out there. Anyway, so today, Farm to Door. On my phone, as well as probably your phone or whatever your electronic device is, we have all these apps. And you can, like I got one of the apps I have is Instacart. So I don't do it every month, but maybe every other month or so. I'll go on the Instacart app and order groceries from the local grocery store, and then somebody will, you know, who's a gig worker, independent contractor, they'll go see my list and pick out everything on there. If it's something that's out of stock or missing, then they'll get back to me in real time, provided I'm by my phone. And, you know, they'll substitute it with whatever, and then they'll fill an order. Then you already prepaid through your card anyway. And then they deliver it to your front door. Well, now you have, and I imagine there's some independent farmers that, because a lot of people, they like to go to shopping on weekends to farmers markets. And I know over in China, on Singles Day, which is the biggest shopping day on the planet. It dwarfs Black Friday here in the United States. You have farmers in remote parts of China that they you know, you see their orchard, whatever they're growing in their orchard, and in China you order it and then they deliver it to you. So over here in the States, I imagine there are people that are doing that already with live selling, but it's there are more people coming on, jumping on the bandwagon with it. So I ran across, I wasn't even looking for it, but I ran across something this morning that said farm to door. And now we've got, thanks to Connie Beasley, we got 4 packets of seeds. And we've covered or talked about on this book, a book by Booker T. Watley, basically on farming. So, you know what, the idea that Booker T. Watley had in this book, which is somewhere around here, I just can't see it. But in any event, where people buy memberships and they grow their own, they pick their own. They pick their own, and they grow their own and pick their own. So, but I like the idea of, you know, having your food, buying your food directly from the farm, and then the farm delivers to your front door. So that's a niche with the contribution from Connie Beasley, because we got, what, a packet of tomato seeds, okra seeds, watermelon season, honeydew melon, where instead of coming to us on a local basis, we want to experiment with that. But farm to door, and I imagine you might have some innovative farmers that might have their own personal app for that right now. I don't know, but if there isn't, there will be, but I'm pretty sure somewhere they will have it. And we also are going to add on, based on Kimmy Kate, which I'm getting ready to open up her mic, is we're going to plant ginger, turmeric, and then I wasn't looking for it. Once again, I ran across something on Amazon. We're going to do potatoes too. So, more on that to come. Okay, good morning, Kimmy K.
Good morning.
Okay, what do you have for us as far as health and wellness goes?
Health and wellness. Actually, playing off your farm to table today, actually, before I go into that, I want to touch on the Booker T. Watley that you speak of.
Oh, you familiar with him?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. All right.
Magnificent. He has a wealth of knowledge on whether you have a huge plot of land or whether you have a small plot of land.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of informative information, and I love that you mentioned him to help build crops. Not only for cash flow, but for personal use.
Right.
And, you know, he concentrates a lot on small farmers to have high-value crops and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just wonderful. It all ties in beautifully for what you do here on the show. And I love that you mentioned him. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, well, matter of fact, you know what? Let me play a quick audio. I haven't played them on here. This is a quick audio where we actually hear him speak.
Hey, y'all. I'm coming to you live from my brand new propagation house.
I'll do a full tour of this new space in the next farm update video. Today, I want to talk about the late, great Booker T. Watley. Watley is a legend in American vegetable farming. He spent decades as a researcher and a farmer in Alabama and in Louisiana after he served in the Korean War. His list of contributions to sustainable agriculture is so very long that it's going to take me two videos to do it justice. Today is the first in a two-part series about the contributions of Booker T. Watley. In the early 1970s, Watley began advocating for the success of the small family-run farm operation. Central to his teachings was a widely publicized Ten Commandments of the Small Farm. And as I read through these, it's remarkable how many of these concepts come up still today when we talk about how we're going to keep small farms alive. Thy small farm shalt. 1. Provide year-round daily cash flow. Well, one can hope. 2. Be a pick-your-own operation. Watley saw how expensive labor could be for a small farm, and he sought to eliminate harvest labor altogether. And we see you-pick operations throughout the country, whether it's in small fruits or tree fruits. It's still a pretty common model in the United States. 3, have a guaranteed market with a clientele membership club. Today we know this as Community Supported Agriculture, or CSA, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the next video. 4, provide year-round full-time employment. We small farm folks are always debating whether a farmer should or can have off-farm income, and it's pretty clear where Watley stands on that one. Commandment 5, be located on a hard surface road within 40 miles of a population center of at least 50,000 people, with well-drained soil and an excellent source of water. All of those things are on my list as I look for the place where we start the next chapter of Garden Variety Harvest. Commandment 6, produce only what thy clients demand and nothing else. Commandment 7, shun middlemen and middle women like the plague, for they are a curse upon thee. All about keeping the maximum money in the pocket of the farmer to keep that farm enterprise humming along. 8, it should consist of compatible, complementary crop components that earn a minimum of $3,000 per acre per year. So that's high-value crops only. And that's a big part of the philosophy that I've started this business with. 9, be weatherproof, at least as far as possible, with both drip irrigation and sprinkler irrigation. And that becomes even more relevant when we start talking about farming in the context of climate crisis. 10, be covered by a minimum of $250,000 in liability insurance, because even in the 1960s, Americans loved to sue one another. So going through Watley's Ten Commandments, I am so struck by how poignant they are to a farm like mine some half a century after he wrote these down for the first time. This country boy from Alabama was decades ahead of his time. And in the next video, we'll dive into Watley's clientele membership club idea and how it became today's popular CSA model. Thanks for watching.
Now, somewhere on here, because I do have an audio of him actually speaking, which I've played on here before, let me see if this is it. It's either Booker T. Washington or Booker T. Wiley or Booker T. Washington. We'll see in a second.
This is a time when the rich American soil seems to yield everything but a living for small farmers. The message is get big or get out of farming. But a Tuskegee professor emeritus has a different row to hoe.
We take the small farm out of the ballpark with the big guy. We tell him he can't grow no cotton and soybeans and beef cattle and hogs. and wheat when the world market is setting the price of wheat. Now, if a farm in Alabama is just growing soybeans and loses crop, it's a total disaster. You hear all this in media because like farming is a lifestyle. Well, you're not going to have much of a lifestyle in this country if you don't have some money.
While a professor at Tuskegee, Booker T. Watley experimented with farming on a small scale. He came up with a way to make a good living with a small operation. To a troubled farm community, Watley's plan was like rain at the end of a long, dry spell. There were so many requests for information that he started a newsletter. Before long, he had some 20,000 subscribers here and in 21 foreign countries. The newsletter tells small farmers that if they're going to move forward, they're going to have to look back. Back to the idea of growing many crops rather than one or two. If one crop fails, there are others to keep the farm going.
Now this is a vine ripened tomato, the kind you don't get in the supermarket. Got thin skin, all the qualities of flavor and taste is there. So. Delicious. You know, we have been led to believe that everything in the supermarket is fresh, and there's nothing in a supermarket that's fresh. And all we're trying to do is get the people back that appreciate quality in their fruits and vegetables.
Plenty of people are skeptical about small farms turning a profit, but Dr. Watley just points the naysayers down the road towards Auburn to Frank Randall's Pick Your Own Farm. Frank's 120 acres produce sheep, honey, grapes, blackberries, and blueberries. High-yield crops that don't need expensive equipment to plant or harvest. The farm is a working example of Watley's theory.
Can you get them picked?
Here it is.
Come harvest time, people find their way to the farm to pick fruit for next winter's breakfast cereal. According to Dr. Watley's plan, a pick-your-own harvest saves labor costs. But something else happens. Bringing people to the farm becomes more than a matter of dollars and cents.
It's gorgeous.
No,
and I picked them all.
Every one of them.
What about that?
We went into this thinking we were selling blueberries, thinking we were selling honey, thinking we were selling lamb. And we find that people are very much interested in letting their kids see where things come from and letting them see something growing. And so we've ended up selling an idea that that wasn't the intent at all, but that's what we've ended up doing. And it's worked out great. Frank, bring these right here on up. Close to the gate. Come on, sheep. Tighten them on up.
Well, you know, change is a funny thing. See, just like Frank's neighbors, every one of them except Frank grows cotton, corn, soybeans, wheat, and got some beef cattle. And all of them are in debt. And yet they won't change. They pay it right by Frank's house, and then Frank don't owe anybody anything. Just like Frank's son is going to fall in his daddy's footsteps because he's going to know about the sheep, he's going to know about the bees, he's going to know about the blueberries. Well, those older farmers is falling into exactly what their dad and granddaddy did. But they won't change. My granddad had a farm 10 times more complicated than this. He never went to school, owned in slavery, but he had a head full of common sense. Frankie, blueberries look good.
Well, you were telling me about these black raspberries. Now,
what we should do, we really need our land-grant institutions to put in some variety trials of black raspberries, because they're worth about twice as much.
Twice as much as
red.
Red. Red's worth a lot.
Yeah,
twice as much. That sounds good.
Like gold nuggets. You see?
Okay. It's the challenge to see if you can work with Mother Nature just a little bit more closely. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. To me, that's the fun part of it, because it's never the same. It's just like an athlete, you know, he pushes himself a little bit further just to see if he can do it. Sometimes that stretching is painful, but you don't grow unless you know, the old cliche, you know, no pain, no gain.
Take some of his teachings and incorporate them in Farm the Door. That's where the ball is going, Farm the Door. Anyway, back to Kimmy Kim. So I'm glad you're familiar with Booker T. Booker T. Watley. Any thoughts on him, or, you know, some of the things that you know about him or his methods?
I just know that with all of his years of research and stuff, he was really searching for a foolproof way to just spread the goodness and the knowledge to others, to make them realize that things that they think is impossible is actually possible. And he was an amazing man. He really was. But not a lot of people know about him. So I think that's great.
One of the callers, matter of fact, I had to call him up. He used to listen daily. Peter Simpson. He was the one that at least brought to my attention Booker T. Washington. So I looked up, I purchased Booker T. Watley's book, which I had right here in my hand, a hardbound copy. Booker T. Washington, Watley's book. Watley is spelled W-H-A-T-L-E-Y. I got it at Amazon. Yeah. But How to Make $100,000 Farming 25 Acres of Land. Today you can... And he published this book. When did he publish this book?
19, it was probably in the 70s.
Yeah. But he's got a lot of good ideas in the book.
Started.
What was that?
I believe he started his research in the 70s.
Probably so. What was the copyright on this book? But he's got a lot of good ideas on there. And then today, matter of fact, last week, I didn't go into detail on it, but The Power of a Square Foot. The Power of a Square Foot of Land. And one of the things and Watley is a good example of this. Last month in February, which I coined the month, I got two niches that I concentrate on: slave entrepreneurs and black township history. So with the slave entrepreneurs, I picked out most days a person that was legally born a slave here in what we now call the United States, but they became entrepreneurs and in some cases wealthy entrepreneurs. So one of the people, and this relates to Booker T. Watley. I don't even keep on saying Washington. Booker T. Watley, and then I'm moving this to Farm to Door. Was a guy named Junius George Groves, who was legally born a slave, and he was a farmer. He was a farmer, and his and let me. This is why I brought up on a podcast last week, but I didn't get into detail. The power of a square foot. All right. Get a visual of a piece of land that has absolutely, there are no buildings on it. There are no people living there. It could have trees, could be a desert, could whatever your visual is, you know, something that you drove by this morning or last week or whatever. But imagine a, and let's take this out of a city, a piece of farmland, okay, that, you know, there's nobody beating down the doors to live there or whatever. But a piece of land, and let's say it's the size of a football field. Let's say that it says 1 acre, because an acre is about the size of a football field. Now, 1 acre, and this is why I'm talking about the power of a square foot. This goes into Booker T. Watley. And if you can get this, this is why I brought up guys like Junius George Groves, who became a very wealthy potato farmer. When he was living at one time, when he was living, he became the wealthiest. I mean, he was a prolific producer, potato farmer. And we gave this with the wealth metrics, because I'm looking at the wealth metrics of natural resources. Now, so anyway, an acre with that piece of land that you're looking at that has no people on it, no houses, no building, whatever. An acre is made up of 43,560 square feet. Now, here's the prosperity in it. That's a large number, 43,560 square feet of natural resources. Now, one of the byproducts, and that's why I brought up the guy's name, Junius George Groves. You can look him up online on Wikipedia. Because all last month, every story I read about these former slaves who became wealthy, a lot of them were tied to land. And to be honest about it, a lot of them got rich. Now, a lot of history doesn't write it that way, because in American history, for some reason, things are written from a victim point of view. But I see the glass half full. So one of the byproducts of that natural resource called land was this guy, Junius George, just read about him on Wikipedia. I mean, he became wealthy growing potatoes. There's another person, and think about it. If you work it right, okay, you can probably take an acre of land, which is, once again, don't think about the number one. You got to get down. What is that 1 acre made up out of? That's why I call it the power of one square foot. An acre is 43,560 square feet. Below that 43,560 square feet is over 43,560 square feet of groundwater, another natural resource. So, that, matter of fact, that's all I buy. I just buy land by the acre. I don't want off the grid stuff. So imagine, well, let's go back to Booker T. Watley. All right, so in Booker T. Watley's book that I have in my hand, and you can go on YouTube, you can actually see him on YouTube. Okay. For those of you who have your calculators out there, let's do this together. Okay. .43,560 square feet equals 1 acre. All right. Now, multiply that by 25 acres. And that gets you 1,089,000 square feet. So imagine if you had, take your pick. You got over 1 million square feet of natural resources, what you can do with that. Anyway, I highly recommend the book. You know, now, when he wrote this book, so if you got an inflation calculator, and let me look that up. Let's see, inflation calculator. Okay, let's go back to I'm going to go back to 1975, and Booker T. Watley was talking about how you can make how to make $100,000. So $100,000 in 1975 today would be $527,353.16. There are YouTube videos now where you can, you know, which it walks you through on how to do this stuff. So just food for thought. Then when we get going with because we got four packets of seeds, and we want to add on potatoes, ginger, and what do you call it? What's the other one? Oh, turmeric. Because, for me, particularly with ginger, ginger is a way for me to avoid taking Tums, Pepto-Bismol, or anything else of that nature if I eat something that does not agree with me. So that's just me speaking. Anyway, but... okay, I'll get off my Booker T. Watley platform. Back to you, Kimmy K. Anything you want to add to that, or what do you have for us today?
With that being said, with the Booker T., he was teaching people how to maximize their revenues with they had, because different mm-hmm. regions would be able to grow different items. So you would have to figure out what item in your region would be of high value, in essence.
Right.
With that being said, in today's world that we live in, everything is so high, you know, it can get so expensive, unfortunately. It wasn't like back then.
You're right. The things weren't as high, but the type of lifestyle that the Booker T. Watley people, well, for instance, there was a time in this country where the majority of people, their grocery store was in their backyard,
Right.
And between neighbors, because I might have chickens, and the hens are laying eggs on a daily, and we have more eggs than we need, so we might be able to trade some eggs for whatever you might have in your backyard or on your homestead. So what modern man has done, particularly in Western countries, we have traded the backyard. We've traded that in to go to Whole Foods, Wegmans, Piggly Wiggly's, whatever grocery store that you go to. And it's going to be more higher today because American labor isn't cheap. And then
right.
If you transport stuff from out of state, you know, imported stuff is more expensive than locally grown stuff, particularly if you don't, I mean, nobody produces everything themselves. But go back 150 years or so ago, the critical mass of people in this country, their primary grocery store, I'll put it that way, was in their backyard. So we've gotten away from that, and the more comfort and convenience we want, we have to pay for it, and that means it's typically going to be more expensive.
Right. The whole idea behind it all was to eliminate the middleman.
Right.
That's what it was all about. To be able to...
You got a lot of middlemen today.
Yeah. Trying to prosper for yourself, for your land, and to eliminate the middleman. Because, like you said, there's lots of them nowadays.
If they eliminate the middleman, then they need to eliminate them prices, too.
Right. Right, but that's not happening now.
Convenience. I mean, let's make it expedient, too, then.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robin.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Oh, you know, well, another middleman is government regulation.
Right.
That's another
Absolutely.
Middleman, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, was it just last year when the government was, I mean, we hit on this the other day. The government was interceding with farmers to have them destroy their crops. I know you heard about this, correct?
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not good. You know,
I agree.
It was for an agenda. That's not good. Which in turn raised the prices in the grocery stores and stuff for us as consumers. So, yeah, your whole outlook on having your own plot of land, growing what you need or farming it, is really the way that people need to think in the future, the way to go, because you have to take control of the circumstances.
Yeah.
Because no one out there nowadays is going to look out for you. You have to do it for yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
You want to own, and the surest way of owning something is building it or creating it. Creating or building it. Or both.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I believe anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with all that being said, a lot of people nowadays don't own land that they can farm at this point. Not saying that it couldn't help in the future. And like LA said, not everybody can grow everything that they're going to need. So with that being said, I just want to mention and touch on that there actually is a product that I found that literally has everything in it, all the goodness, all the vegetables, the fruits that you need on a daily basis.
Ooh, pass it over here.
And the beauty in it all, it not only has tons of organic fruits and vegetables, but it has a derivative, or it has hemp, stuff from the hemp plant in it. And I'm not talking THC, I'm talking CBD and CBG. Do you guys, have you ever heard of CBG or know anything about it?
I recently learned about it because I've been trying to find something to address the pain that I have from the inflammation in my body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's heard of CBD pretty much, derived from a hemp plant. But CBG, in essence, is the mother plant, the mother plant of hemp. It's the strongest part of the plant. It helps maintain, like, balance in your mental state. It helps naturally manage pain and discomfort. It helps improve brain health and focus, your mood, your skin. It helps with inflammation. I know I deal with a lot of inflammation problems. Muscle spasms, free radicals. Now, the CBD side of it, it helps boost the immune system if you deal with inflammation, whether it's in your knees, whether you got arthritis inflammation, gout, stuff like that, helps with sleep, helps lower anxiety. But none of these all-natural things have a psychoactive result to them. So you're not, because a lot of people think when they hear CBD or if they know anything about CBD, they think you're going to get high from it, and that's not it. It's a natural part of the plant made from God that is healing to people. And I have found a powder that you can make smoothies out of, or you can add to drinks, that not only you're getting a full serving of all your fruits and vegetables on a daily basis, but you're also getting the CBD and the CBG in them that helps support your immune system. It helps with gut health, helps sustain your energy, overall wellness, helps with the inflammation, like I said, and it just simply helps with aches, pains, discomfort, stuff like that. Phenomenal product for those people out there who can't grow all their stuff, but they want a healthy alternative to help get their health health on a better road to recovery.
CBD is the new Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. Yeah. But
wow, that is really amazing. Can I ask you a question, Kimmy Kay?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you come to be so knowledgeable in this area, in this field?
Personal experience, honestly. I was...
Would you care?
What's that?
I was going to say, would you care to elaborate?
Sure. I was diagnosed with a very rare autoimmune disease years ago. I was told that there was no cure and that it was terminal illness. So they turned around and they put me on 14 different kinds of prescription medications a day. And each one of those medications all had side effects and ended up over the years causing even more health problems. And I just decided one day that, unfortunately, those prescription medications, I was poisoning my body. That was not going to work. That those prescription medications were going to kill me before the illness killed me. And I had to do something to start educating myself to another way. I found that you can naturally treat your body with goodness, with things that you have in control of what you put in your body. And I am now, due to all of the research and the knowledge and the trial and error over the years, I'm now completely prescription free.
And alive and vibrant. That's amazing. Yep.
And my doctor tells me my illness is actually in remission, and it has been in remission since 2013 because I made those changes in my life and got rid of prescription medications. And not only the goodness out of fruits and vegetables and turmeric and ginger that we seek a lot and garlic and all those things, but CBD, things derived from hemp, and I'm not talking the psychoactive, I'm not talking getting high, that's not, CBD is natural healing, and it changed my life forever. And my doctor is amazed when he sees me for checkups because he can't believe that I'm almost 50 years old and I'm in better health than a 20-year-old right now.
Wow.
Let me ask you something, Kimmy K. Was your diet when you were on the medication, or even before the medication, was it what I would call an inflammatory diet, meaning fried foods, hot foods, high in fat or trans fats?
Yeah, absolutely. I was, I must say I loved red meat. I loved bacon. I loved anything fat. I loved anything sugary.
All that's inflammatory. Yeah.
I loved it.
And I like
all
that stuff too. I like that stuff
right.
too, but the distinction that I learned was, okay, there are two primary distinctions of food. Inflammatory foods, which is everything you just named. Wait a minute, she's on the phone. Foods that are non-inflammatory, which are basically, and high in water content, like fruits, vegetables, and then, the derivatives that you can make from that, like smoothies or raw ice cream and stuff like that. So, I love ice cream. Now, I don't eat it that often, but I know how to make raw ice cream now, which is basically the way I make raw ice cream is, I'll freeze a banana, I'll freeze avocado, and I'll freeze those up, and then I'll probably freeze some dates too. And then when I'm ready for the raw ice cream, and let's say I want, I like spinach, so I'll take the spinach, which isn't frozen, the spinach, the raw avocado, typically half of avocado frozen, a full banana frozen, and then I'll put that in I don't have a Vitamix, I got something else, but a high-speed blender. For about maybe 45 seconds or something like that. And I also put, what's that sweetener I put in there? Agave. And I just put that in that high-speed food blender. And the look, don't forget the spinach. But it could be spinach, it could be carrots. Whatever color you or flavor you like, you put in there. For me, I like either frozen carrots and or the raw spinach. But anyway, so... But the texture, the look, and the taste is like ice cream, but it has no dairy to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's that non-inflammatory ice cream versus, because my favorite ice cream is coffee-flavored ice cream, which is typically dairy. I haven't learned how to do a raw version of that yet. But I learned that, okay, I love fried chicken. But
yeah.
In the last the last 3 years, I probably had fried chicken twice. That's it. Because if I eat, give me 3 pieces of fried chicken in a week, by the third time, my body's going to be telling me you're doing something wrong. So my whole thing is the pleasure of eating certain inflammatory foods or eating them often, that's where you get into trouble. If you eat a lot of inflammatory foods often on a daily basis, then your body's going to start communicating to you, I don't like these foods. It's going to give you warning signals. And something that people should realize about the human body, too. God will forgive you for what you do to your body, but your body won't. So you need to listen to your body before you have something happen to you like a heart attack, stroke, or you got to go to an emergency room or whatever. But, yeah, you can have the fried chicken. I mean, I love cheeseburgers, but I don't have them that often. And I know how to do a vegetarian version of those now. Okay, so anyway, that's my thoughts on it.
Well, with that being said, I'm going to be real honest with you. I do not eat extremely healthy all the time.
I don't either.
There's certain things, like you said, fried chicken. I love fried chicken. I love cheeseburgers. I love a good steak. I still eat those things that I love. We're going to call it indulgence.
Right.
I indulge in things like that in essence bring a smile to my face because they taste wonderful. The texture's great,
mm-hmm.
you know. But these greens that I am talking about counteract when you're doing indulgent stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's not like you have to completely eat all organic or you have to be vegan. I'm not saying any of that at all. I'm not saying that you have to change your lifestyle or change what you eat or the intake of your body. I'm not saying that at
mm-hmm.
all. Would it be better for your body if you did? Absolutely. What I'm saying is I have found a phenomenal product that helps take care of the stuff that you're indulging in that's causing inflammation or your body and causing it to be problematic for you. These greens are actually reversing those effects and putting more goodness. You're getting the full fruits and vegetables on a daily basis, and then with the CBD and the CBG in it, you're actually, over time, this stuff, if you would do it just once a day, literally will change the outcome of your health. You said earlier, not everybody, you know, if they are growing their stuff, not everybody can grow everything.
Right.
Not everybody has the ability to afford, especially nowadays with the high as everything, not everybody has the ability to pay all their bills and purchase the whole spectrum of all the fruits and vegetables that you would need to get all the nutrients and goodness out of them.
True.
But if you have one item where you take a scoop of powder every day and you put it into a smoothie, you could make an ice cream with it. You can add it into a drink. You could be drinking tea and just choose to make your tea like a blue raspberry tea or a watermelon tea because it comes in two different flavors. and consume it that way. There's just so many ways that you can use it, but you're still getting that goodness into your body, but yet you're not realizing, because some people, when you say, oh, drink this or take this, it's good for you, a lot of people will go, yuck. Because I don't know about you. I don't know if you have ever drank anything that's greens-based, but
when I make my green drinks, my favorite drink to make is, because I have a juice extractor also, I'll take some Granny Green apples, lemon oil. I was just still lime in because that's green. I'll juice the Granny Green apples. I'll juice the lemon. I'll juice the spinach and or kale. I don't use both of them at the same time, but either one or the other. So that produces a very green drink taste. It's sweet, and it's like lemonade, a natural lemonade. But that's a green drink.
Green
drink.
Yeah, well, that sounds phenomenal, actually. I might have to try that. Mm-hmm. I have tried other drinks in the past where you're putting, like, greens and kale and all different kinds of greens, and you mix some fruit in it. And it just, even green supplements to make smoothies, everything I have ever tried tastes awful. There's something about
green. That's why I put the Granny Green, I put the Granny Green apples in there, because that neutralizes the bitterness of the spinach and or kale.
Yeah, that's smart.
It
really
neutralizes
fun.
That, and it's all, you know, it's all water. And
right.
Now, you might have seen this movie. It might be on Netflix, not Netflix. It might be on available on YouTube for free. It used to be, but it still might be. I know they have trailers. It's called Fat, Sick, and Almost Dead. And this guy, he drank 6 green drinks per day for 6 consecutive weeks. And the transformation of his body is amazing. He documented the whole thing. That's what that whole documentary is about. But he did it, you know, drinking green drinks.
Absolutely, because you know what he was doing? That gentleman, I know exactly what you're talking about. He had an autoimmune disease, just like me. And autoimmune disease covers a whole slew of different things, whether you're dealing with RA, whether you're dealing with arthritis is considered an autoimmune disease, gout, Wegener's, like I deal with. There's just so many different things. And what it is an autoimmune disease, in essence, does not recognize anything in your body as being yours. So what the body does is your immune system attacks your own body, and that's where inflammation comes in. Yeah, that's where the inflammation is called, because there's something called granulomas in the body. When you get a response, when your body starts attacking itself because it thinks something in your body is foreign, then it's going to start attacking it. So, for example, the granulomas can show up.
So you're talking about things like you mentioned already, like gout, arthritis, heartburn. That's the body attacking itself.
Yes, lupus. Yes, it's because the body does not recognize anything in your body as being yours. It's almost like your body is in defense mechanism constantly, and it's like your body's trying to destroy itself to save itself, because your body doesn't know any better. And that's what happens. Yeah.
I'm glad you shared that information.
What it does. So that's why it is so important to gain the knowledge of exactly what's happening in your body and other things that you put in your body that can be like a catalyst to make these things worse. Because I have fought over and over for years for the inflammation, but the granulomas, it's like they build up in your system, and that's where inflammation comes from. So when you find products that work for you, whether it's eating specific fruits and vegetables or finding products that actually have a daily serving of all the fruits and vegetables, that's when you're going to change your life forever. Just like the gentleman that you just spoke about, he was an overweight man that was suffering with the autoimmune disease, and he went on a journey to drink those green drinks every day that had just fruits and vegetables, and he reclaimed his health from doing that. He not only lost weight, but he claimed his health back by changing what's inside his body. And it's amazing.
I'm amazed. You gave me, I've got a paradigm shift. Your body is attacking you because it, oh boy. Woo. You know, I knew somebody. In my opinion, because I'm no medical professional, they passed on now, but they would, in my opinion, once again, I'm not a medical professional, they didn't recognize that they had food allergies. So they would eat something, and they would end up in the hospital maybe about 3 or 4 times a year. And even at the hospital, there's, what did you eat last or take into your system last? And from what I knew about this person, which wasn't a whole lot, but they consumed a lot of junk food. And they eventually, I guess, they got sick and they're not walking the earth anymore. So, that's why, like I said, I absolutely love French onion dip and potato chips, that combination. But I haven't had any French onion dip in at least 20 years. I live by affirmation. The pleasure, if I get tempted by something like that, which I haven't that particular, pleasure is not worth the pain. And now, which what you just said, because when I used to eat that stuff, and I just couldn't just, I eat the whole thing in one sitting. Or, like, I love chocolate-covered peanuts. You give me one, and there's a box here, I'm eating a whole box. And I'll break out. That's the food out. So I just look, but now I'm understanding, you know what, that's, if I do that, I'm setting my body to basically attack itself. And the pain from that is not worth the pleasure of eating it.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong, like you said, I'm with you on the French onion dip and the chips. Mm-hmm. It's addictive, and when I sit down to eat it, I want to eat it all at once, and that's
right.
A bad thing. Mm-hmm. But
you know what, if you did that one time, it wouldn't be so bad.
Right.
But then I'll go back later in the week or the next day, and that's when you get into trouble, when you overdo it.
Right. You want to indulge in the good things that you love, but you want to control the portion size that you're eating.
Right, exactly. Control the portion size. Now, you know, my substitute for that is, now I'll go to a health food store. I'll get me some blue corn chips or something like that at the health food store and get some hummus. I love hummus, and basically hummus doesn't tear. I have no side effects when I'm dealing with hummus.
Yes, because hummus is made with chickpeas. And chickpeas have such an amazing effect on the body, especially when it comes to dealing with inflammation.
Mm-hmm. I even use some types of hummus as a sandwich spread now instead of mayonnaise. I'll use hummus as a sandwich spread, which actually makes the sandwich, in my opinion, taste better.
Yeah. It's a great source of protein, and it promotes weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with inflammation. There's so much goodness because chickpeas they're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
there's
a whole lot of delicious snacks that people can make by using non-inflammatory foods. I mean, for instance, I mean, there's all different types of hummus, which is non-inflammatory. There's just a whole lot of, a lot of raw dishes that you can. But like I say, I still eat a cheeseburger every now and then. Maybe once a year I might get a Big Mac, but that's once a year.
Chicopee, it was actually created years ago by a Canadian woman. She wanted to bring not only a healthy, something healthy to be able to use it in many different ways. But the thing is, with chickpeas, they're dairy-free, they're gluten-free, they're kosher, they're organic, they're vegan, and there's no sugar in it whatsoever. Mm. All the signs of that is just screams healthy.
Okay. Now, what about processed foods? Because in some of the, like, for instance, egg beaters. What classification would you put egg beaters in?
What was the other one we were talking about the other day that you eat?
The other thing, no egg.
No egg. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was no egg. Yeah. Oh, no, it's something called egg.
Yeah.
But it's a vegetable-based
right.
product.
It's vegetable-based. With egg beaters is actually made with all egg whites.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually getting half the calories that you would out of a regular egg.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a good, you're getting all the protein, but you get a good taste with it.
Right.
Egg beaters.
Now, my question to you, now, would egg beaters be considered a processed food? Because a lot of people get in trouble because they're eating too much processed foods.
Right. Yeah, processed
so
foods
So is that
are
considered
not,
processed?
Right. Processed foods are not good for the body at all.
I know, like luncheon meat. All right, lunch meat basically is processed. That's a no-brainer there.
Yeah. Egg beaters, they are considered to be healthier than a real egg or real
right.
egg white. But believe it or not, they are a processed egg product.
Okay.
Now, the upside on that is that they do fill the egg beaters with extra nutrients. So they're
mm-hmm.
jam-packed with nutrients. Like you've got vitamin A, you've got vitamin B12 in it. There's lots of vitamin D, E, folic
mm-hmm.
acids, riboflavin. There's a lot of goodness that they do pack in there that is very beneficial for the body. But once again, it's something that you don't want to eat all the time. It's something that you want to consider just an occasional because it is processed.
Okay. Well, now, I got, matter of fact, she was on here the other day, Beata. Now, she's, I guess she's vegan. Or let's call her vegetarian. Now, she will eat real eggs. I don't know if she gets them farm fresh, but does that make a difference? If you're eating a farm fresh egg and talking about, let's say you have a connection because the title of today's podcast is from farm to door. So let's say you know a dairy farm, a dairy farmer that can deliver fresh eggs from his chickens to your front door. Is that a safer bet than eating the eggs that you might find at Whole Foods or any grocery store? Or because the other one, I don't think she'll touch egg beaters, but she will eat real eggs. And I, different people have different motivations, but.
The main downfall, eggs are very high in protein, but they're high in cholesterol.
Okay.
That high cholesterol, high content cholesterol things are bad for the heart, of course.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, the just egg plant-based that you were talking about that you eat sometimes, that right there is a phenomenal product because
it tastes good too.
There's no cholesterol in it.
Okay. Yeah, I like the taste, the texture, the look, the taste. I mean, I have them about maybe twice a month sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Just egg is, zero cholesterol. Yeah, they have zero cholesterol. It's got a lot less saturated fat than what a regular egg would have.
Okay.
That has a lot to do because it's plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
They're dairy-free. They're allergy-friendly because they're plant-based.
Mm-hmm.
And they're protein-packed. So if someone was to ask me which one I personally would prefer that I think would be better for me personally, I would go with the just egg.
Right.
Over the egg beaters.
Yeah, I like the just egg better than egg beaters too.
Yeah.
First thing, they cook up better than egg beaters. And for me, they taste better than egg beaters. I like egg beaters, but it seems like just egg. It's a real scrambled egg because that's how I mostly like. If I'm gonna eat an egg, I like it scrambled. But now let's get back. Now you were on these medications. Now some of these medications, I guess if you're taking 9 medications, there could be some. I mean, your body is a chemistry set.
Right.
Because I won't take, I'm not on any medication. But at one time I had high blood pressure, and I went to the doctor, and he gave me some medication that read, on the side of it said, in rare cases, suicidal thoughts or whatever. I didn't even open up. I didn't even open up, unscrew the top after that. So I happened to be talking to a friend of mine like the next day or something like that, and she told me about garlic and magnesium. And so I did that. I took the garlic and magnesium, and the blood pressure went down like normal, and it's been like that ever since. So now my question is, some of these medications, I'm no doctor, but, let's give your example again. So how did you wean yourself off of 9 medications?
It was actually 14 medications.
Oh, okay.
Now, you literally, I would suggest personally, I worked with my doctor because you don't just want to quit, especially prescription medications. You don't want to quit them cold turkey because that's going to put your body in shock and cause a whole bunch of problems. But working with my doctor, I actually chose a safe route within a 30-day period to cut back on the intake of each one of the medications to safely get off of them. But as I was safely getting off of them, I was implementing all the goodness for eating more fruits and vegetables or implementing where I can get a daily serving, making a smoothie with all of the daily allowance of the fruits and vegetables and doing it that way. So I was cutting back on the prescription meds, and I was increasing the bringing in the good stuff, the natural stuff into my body that would help regulate and better my health. And with doing it that way, I had success. And when within 30 days, I was off all prescription medications. You know, I took blood pressure medication. They had me on narcotics. I was on arthritis medicine. I was on migraine medicine. I was on muscle relaxers. I was on stomach medication. And the reason I had to have stomach medication was because I was on 13 other prescription medications that was causing havoc in my stomach.
Right. Boy, that's a lot, 14.
Yeah, so at this point, I no longer even take stomach medication. That's it. I mean, I might take a couple Tylenol every once in a while, but I don't even do that very often.
Right. Well, congratulations on that reduction.
Well, thank you. I had to do something because 8 out of the 14, one of the side effects was gaining weight. And no matter what I did, no matter how I ate, no matter how much I worked out every day, I was not losing any of the weight that I was gaining. Because a lot of times the prescription medications, you not only gain weight, but you retain water. And I was just, in essence, like a walking blimp going down the road, down the street. So I had to take control of that. And once I got off all those medications and everything, within 6 months' time, I lost 150 pounds just because I was no longer on those prescription medications.
Basically, you detoxed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my body completely detoxed and got all of the
We're
stuff
We're talking
out.
About a completely you lost how many pounds in 6 months?
150 pounds.
That's like a whole person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like a walking blimp. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I was huge because of those. And because of the weight gain, because of the water retention, because of all the inflammation and everything else that those medications were causing to be problematic in my body, it was a game changer for me completely. Because no matter what I did, I mean, I was literally only eating one meal a day, trying to cut back on my caloric intake to try to lose some of the weight that I was gaining. And no, you get on the scale and I gained 2 more pounds today. I could go to the gym and work out like crazy. It wasn't working. Nothing was working. So I had to try to figure out for myself, and that's when I started researching, you know, what could be causing all this. And that's when I finally come to the realization that I was causing all the havoc and all the problems myself by everything that I was consuming. Not only did it have something to do with food, but it had a lot to do with prescription medications, because there's just if you've ever read the ingredients on prescription medications, half the words are so long you can't even pronounce them, let alone know
right.
what they actually are. And then they give you a side effect list when you pick it up from the pharmacy of all the side effects that these prescriptions that are supposed to help you are doing to your body, whether it's diarrhea, dizziness, drowsiness, fatigue, hives, nausea, vomiting, You know, a lot of pills cause constipation. You can get rashes. You know, I could go on and on and on about side effects, but I know everybody has seen prescription side effects, you know, if they've ever got prescription medication. I've seen commercials out there, and I really hate to say this, and maybe I shouldn't, but it's gross. When they're giving you something to better yourself or your health because of condition, and yet on the commercial on TV, they literally say outright, may cause bloody stool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but right there throws up a big, huge red flag for me. It's been so long.
Only thing I picked up in recent years, and I'm leery of, is something dealing with liver. Like, for instance, you take Excedrin PM. What I'll do is, first thing I know if I got a headache, 9.5 times out of 10, it's because I'm slightly dehydrated. So if I cheat and take one of those, you know, Excedrin PM at night, what I'll do is I'll split it in two. I only take half because if you take too much of that stuff, you can cause liver damage. But I rarely do that, take anything like that. So,
You just have to be mindful and read the label before you're putting something in your body and make the decision, do I really want the possibility of this happening to me? And, you know.
Right. And that's why I like the natural, like, for me, ginger beer or even, ginger ale is just a weaker version of ginger ale, ginger beer. But ginger ale is a good natural non-alcoholic for people that don't know. It's just called ginger beer, but it has no alcohol in it. At least I've never run across any with alcohol. Ginger beer basically is good for settling your stomach and then keeping it settled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like that. Or same with ginger root, you know, because I can eat a small piece of ginger root, I can straight. But I only go to those extremes if I got a bad stomach pain, which is very, very rare for me these days. So,
Actually, ginger beer, anything. I love ginger. It's one of my favorites because it's real powerful for anti-inflammatory in the body. It helps the body to not only remain healthy, but actually it gives you a youthful nutrient. It gives you like a youthful appearance, but ginger is very well known for helping prevent disease. It's powerful, very powerful. So yeah, stay on your ginger.
Now, do you know anything about, for people who have pets, anything to help keep their pets healthy?
Yes. I have found plant-based CBD products for pets. They have like a tincture where if your animal has anxiety or gets real nervous, problems, you know, barks a lot, scared, maybe even just older. Maybe it could be a mood thing. There's actually
What about
like
itching?
Itching and hives and stuff. There's a couple different ways that you can go with that I found years ago before I started, you know, digging in deep to research and stuff like that, my veterinarian always told me just to give my dog Benadryl.
Hold up, people Benadryl?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I read that somewhere. I read that in a couple of places, and I went and bought some doggy Benadryl. Well, but that didn't really work that well. But I know I had another pet where I dropped some and they ate, scooped it up and licked. You know how dogs get.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna try that.
Yeah, well, that's what they told me years ago. But honestly, what I found, if you, aloe vera is very good at soothing stuff like that for animals.
Right.
Now,
natural aloe vera instead of getting that bottled stuff.
Right, right, right.
Okay.
If you give them like an oatmeal bath, believe it or not, oatmeal is very, very healing to the skin.
Yeah, Ron recommended that. Okay.
Coconut oil's good.
Yeah, I've used coconut oil, and that's good for rashes. That clears the rashes up real good, fast.
Apple cider vinegar is good for just about anything. And you can do green tea soaks, believe it or not. Put your dog in a bath and put some green tea bags in the bath. And just, you know, just cover them with that green tea, kind of like a green tea soak in essence. But it's very soothing to their skin. So that would be natural things that you can do. But I just...
Yeah, I'd rather go to natural, because when you take them to the vet, they're going to shoot them up with a steroid or something.
Right, right. I was throwing that thing that the veterinary told me years ago, was to just give the dog Benadryl. They'll be fine. Yeah, well...
I'll try that.
And then another thing is, you know, you may want to change their diet, because it could be their itching and rash could be.
You know what? Now, I've read that too, because something with no grain. I had to feed them with no grain, yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Some have to have dairy-free. Some have to have grain-free. I mean, in essence, their bodies are made up just like us. They have allergies just like us.
You're right.
You have to take that in consideration. Not all people can eat the same foods. Not all dogs can eat the same processed dog food out of the grocery store either.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You're
right. They have food allergies and...
Yeah, so if they're itching a lot or they're getting hives, then the first thing you should probably do is check what you're feeding them.
Right. Well,
or
I need to get mine
off of. Have something to do with that. I mean, it's just like humans. It's process of elimination to figure out what may be causing it. And then try to move forward and change little things here and there to try to better their quality of life, just like with us.
Right.
It's all about trying to create the life to become your highest self in on every level.
Correct, correct. Now, do you have any products that a person can purchase?
For dogs?
No. Let's go with people.
Yeah. I have all different kinds of products for all different kinds of things. Earlier I had mentioned the greens. I would suggest anyone that would be interested in getting a full amount, daily dose of greens and vegetable every day, you know, I have some magnificent products. They come in blue raspberry or watermelon. They've been life-changing for me. They really have.
Now, do you have a website or anything?
You can find me on any level of social media. I'm mainly right now on Facebook. It's Kimmy K, K-I-M-I-K-A-Y-E. Or you can reach me at my phone number, which is 614-869-4949. And I will get back to you and see if you're trying to get on a healthier route in life, or maybe you're having problems with certain things, then you can just simply contact me to get info on, you know, trying to give you my personal opinion on what has worked for me, or products that I know of that are available that have been very done great, got great, they've just had great success and testimonies from others, and they're just very healing to the body because we have to take care of our.
All right, well, that's good to know. Well, I guess the big takeaway I got today, besides the Benadryl thing, would be the body attacking itself. When you've done something that the body doesn't particularly like, or ingested, rather.
Well, if you think about it like when you get a cold or you get sick, your immune system already kicks up and goes into overdrive because it realizes that is a foreign substance in your body and it doesn't belong there. So your body, your immune system kicks into overdrive to try to conquer, beat, or get it out of your system.
You know, that's another way to look at it, too. You know, if you get sick or whatever, what have you put into your body that doesn't belong in your body? Well, that explains too much chocolate-covered peanuts or whatever.
It's just like when my daughter called me just a couple weeks ago because she had a really bad sore throat and she wasn't feeling well. A lot of people don't realize honey and cinnamon, when you are sick, take a spoonful of honey. Sprinkle a little bit of cinnamon on that because both of those elements together are phenomenal. They are antiviral. They can naturally help beat off a cold.
I had to try that with the cinnamon part because my mother, who was a registered nurse, she had a home remedy that she got while waiting on a bus. Many years ago. It was raw honey, gin, and castor oil all mixed up. You take a tablespoon of that. It worked. That's all I know. It worked.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try that raw honey, and I got to restock back up on raw honey.
I mean,
raw honey with cinnamon.
Right. Raw honey and cinnamon. You can even make a tea. Like green teas have extremely potent healing properties. You can take a green tea, put you some honey in it, sprinkle a little cinnamon. But, you know, I just told my daughter that the other day because the honey itself, when you consume it, because she had a sore throat and everything, it literally coats your throat as it's going down. And then the cinnamon, it's a powerful mixture having the honey and the cinnamon together.
Okay.
Because
now, what about oil of oregano? I've tried oil of oregano when I feel something coming on, and I've taken some oil of oregano, and it knocks it out.
Really?
Yeah, oil of oregano pills. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oil of oregano has many great things to it. You can get it in pill form. You can get it in essential oils. It has a natural antibiotic in it.
Uh-huh.
And it has an antifungal agent in it. It aids people in not only feeling better, but it's a powerful tool in losing weight and to also lower your cholesterol.
Oh, didn't know the cholesterol problem.
Most people don't realize that. The ancient Greeks and Roman civilizations used to use it a lot for medicinal purposes. Oregano actually comes from a Greek word.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's literally a culinary spice, not only for cooking, but it's also from years and years and years and years ago, it was used for medicinal purposes. So it has a lot of goodness in it. That's for sure. But I personally love it because it's a natural antibiotic. So instead of going and taking some kind of prescription medication like penicillin or something, you can turn around and take this because it's natural. It doesn't have anything that's going to be harmful into your body. It's all natural, which in turn helps boost your immune system to fight the cold or whatever you're dealing with to kick it out of your system.
Well, all good points, and thank you, Kimmy K. We're going to wrap it up for today. I know you give me some paradigm, or at least one or two paradigm shifts here.